You've had this problem before. You're doing the dishes and you want to start playing some music, but you can't be bothered. Well, now you can play music and control your system with your voice. All you need to say is, "Hey Sonos, play some music." And if you already have Sonos and it started playing music when I said that, well, I'm not sorry. Experience the best sound anywhere, everywhere with Sonos Roam, the ultra-portable smart speaker for all your listening adventures. Visit Sonos.com to learn more and shop Roam in three new exclusive colors.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Elvis.
He wished his friends dead, and then they fell from the sky. They were long gone now, just like his career. And so, with a deluge of survivor's guilt, Waylon Jennings went to the sunniest city in America, seeking a fresh start. Like any good country song, salvation came for Waylon in the bottom of a riverbed. Only this one sat in the bone-dry Salt River. And at the basin sat a brand new, gleaming, split-level nightclub. Jennings spent the next 5 years playing at JD's, almost every night from 9 to close, just paying his dues, honing his craft, building a scene and a sound, and shaking off the ghost of Buddy Holly in the Valley of the Sun.
"Hey, Willie, let's pack up and catch a slow train and go back to Phoenix to a brighter day. Where stars were for shining in the Arizona sky, and music meant more than fortune or fame." Hey Willie, Waylon Jennings.
Archaeologists would have called them the Hohokam, but they would have called themselves something else. They were the first to tame the harsh Salt River Valley in present-day Phoenix with massive irrigation projects beginning over 2,000 years ago. By hand, they dug hundreds of miles of canals as big as 15 feet deep and 40 feet wide to create rich farmland in the desert. Crops flourished, settlements sprung up, complete with zoning restrictions as tight as any modern-day Scottsdale Homeowners Association. With food plentiful, there was time to dream and create. To decorate the ceramic pots and bowls used for cooking and storage or special ceremonies. They created intricate geometric designs and animal motifs inspired by the wildlife around them. Before long, some folks started making extra pots to trade, and this little side hustle became a booming business complete with huge new production facilities. A new generation of hustlers started moving product as far away as California coast and present-day Belize. Hohokam culture was trending. For thousands of miles in every direction, you found their art, you heard their music, and then it all dried up. The soaring population required a massive amount of water to grow enough crops to feed it. The Hohokam built bigger and bigger irrigation canals, stretching the water supply to the breaking point. Starting in 1200 AD, punishing droughts hit the area and the flow of water trickled to a drop. Entire harvests collapsed. Just a generation before, what had been a lush green farmland with flowing rivers was now empty riverbeds of hard, sun-baked earth. Populations plunged, and by the time the Spanish conquistadors arrived in 1540, Hohokam civilization had virtually disappeared, except for the massive canals they left behind. Now, If you're racking your brain trying to remember who was on the Billboard Top 100 in 1540 and what this has to do with today's live music scene, well, you could say those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. You could also say that those who don't know their history are missing out on what it takes to survive all of this. Phoenix is America's fifth largest city and growing fast. Massive irrigation projects turn desert into greenery, including over 200 golf courses that dot the area. Culturally, many music lovers have been quick to call it a wasteland best left to the bachelorette parties and those golf-playing retirees. A place where getting your face melted means stepping outside in the summer rather than stepping into a club to catch a set. But I'm beginning to figure out that you all are not most music lovers. You know that Arizona's urban heart contains a unique and vibrant scene for those who know how to dig just a little. And then you find
Dwayne Eddy,
The Maine,
The Tubes,
Chester Bennington,
Stevie Nicks,
Jimmy E. World,
Flotsam and Jetsam,
The Meat Puppets,
Dead Hot Workshop,
AJJ,
Congos,
The Gin Blossoms,
The Refreshments,
Dirk Bentley,
Limbic System,
The Pistoleros,
Lee Hazelwood,
Luna Aura,
Sanford Clark,
Buck Owens,
Andy Warpit,
Courtney Marie Andrews,
Injury Reserve,
Roger Klein and The Peacemakers,
and oh yeah, Alice Cooper.
In the desert, a riverbed can sit dry for years, even decades, but a sudden downpour in it will rage back to life. The music of Phoenix will barely trickle past the city limits for years, only to spring to life out of nowhere and flood the rest of the country. In 1958, producer Lee Hazelwood was cutting small-time rockabilly records out of a studio in a radio repair shop in town. He spotted a 2,000-gallon water tank rusting in the local dump, and he hauled it back to the studio to create a massive echo chamber in the parking lot. Itching to try it out, he had local guitarist Dwayne Eddy play a riff on the low strings of his Gretsch hollow-body guitar in a screaming 100-watt magnetone amplifier while he ran the sound through the empty water tank. Magic happened when the sound came out the other side, an immaculate echo cascading from every note. That's the sound you hear on Rebel Rouser, the iconic instrumental that put this city on the rock map for the twangy desert-inspired guitar rock that would pave the way for artists like Waylon Jennings just a few years later. And in the 1990s, a collection of bands powered by the breakout act The Gin Blossoms put their own stamp on that twangy desert rock sound in the red-hot Tempe, Arizona scene. If Waylon had JDs, then the Blossoms had Long Wongs, a squat stucco rock club on Mill Avenue where they learned their craft and built a die-hard local following. It was still a surprise when Hey Jealousy caught fire and hit the Billboard Top 25. The buzz got bigger when Kurt Cobain invited local band The Meat Puppets to add some desert vibes to Nirvana's MTV Unplugged show. And soon, record execs were calling Tempe Seattle with sunshine. Bands like Dead Heat Workshop, The Refreshments, and The Pistoleros all signed major label deals. And just a few years later, another band with roots in the scene, Jimmy Eat World, would hit even bigger. And sure, these bands may travel different sonic tributaries, but they're all part of that same river. And you don't believe me? Cue up Rebel Rouser and the guitar solo from Jimmy Eat World's The Middle, and tell me you can't hear the similarities flowing out of the Salt River bed of Phoenix, Arizona. Sound of Our Town is a podcast about the music that shaped the city you are touching down in. It is also about finding, hearing, and experiencing its best music happening right now, what sounds and places have shaped the city's culture, and what new sounds continue to define it. It's about getting together in a room to listen and why that matters so much. In each episode of Sound of Our Town, I'll be introducing you to the real places and the sonic stories echoing in a particular town so that your travel is enriched with music. My name is Will Daly. I'm an independent DIY artist, but there's no such thing as DIY. Well, there is, but that's a different podcast, maybe about self-care. We do it together. That's the only way. So let us go, right now, to Phoenix, Arizona. Now, if you're standing on the corner of Winslow, Arizona, you can head south for 3 hours on I-17 to reach Phoenix. Such a fine sight to see. Or you can fly to Phoenix if you want to be less poetic about it. It's a massive city, divided into 15 urban villages, each with its own character. Not to mention Tempe and Mesa to the east, which have essentially become part of the city over the years. So for the sprawling capital, it makes sense that your first stop be one of its best, a true to the desert venue. In a building that dates back to 1917, a time when Phoenix rapidly transformed from a small farming community to a growing urban center and a trendy travel destination. Now, 150 years later, sitting a block from Van Buren Light Rail Station downtown, awaits the Crescent Ballroom, a place where big shows stay intimate. Everywhere in this 500 max capacity room, you are in close proximity to a grand stage. I make that distinction because many venues restrict the stage footprint to sell more tickets. But the rooms that prioritize a show, well, let's just say they make the best first stop. And if you are starved and thirsty, it's Cocina 10 that adds to this first stop perfection. A scratch kitchen serving Sonoran cuisine and a full vegetarian vegan menu, alongside a regular menu, don't panic. Food and drinks until 2 a.m. on the weekends. The Honey Badger, a rye version of a Moscow Mule, is a perfect welcome to what makes the Crystal Ballroom special. Every genre, every volume level is welcome in the ballroom. From Homegrown Injury Reserve just getting started or Brandon Flowers doing a solo show in 2015, to Henry Rollins of Montreal, too many zoos on the same calendar in 2022. It all works at the Crystal Ballroom. Sound waves lacing through the wooden beams in the ceiling, ending their journey across the room on the wooden bleachers. Yeah, wooden bleachers on the back wall. Kind of like a 1970s high school gym seating for when you don't want to be huddled up by the stage. And if you're in town on a Wednesday, you get to roll in for a weekly curated artist showcase. It features some of the best songwriters from the music community, and it's hosted by local Jesse Tier of the Senators. Both luminaries and up-and-comers for a one-of-a-kind show, just for you, in Phoenix. And you know, with each journey we take this season, we are finding the listening rooms, the spot where capturing every sound being made is valued like drops of water in a desert. And we will find one such oasis in Phoenix. The sort of place that marks you permanently like a tattoo. Or, in the case of our next stop, it's literal. And we'll go there right after this.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
It's the spring of 2005, and you are so glad high school graduation is just around the corner. You don't exactly fit the mold at school. In a river of pastels, you're an island of all black, from the shirt to the jeans to the chucks. Loneliness is a skill set you mastered and wear like a badge of honor. And music is a true best friend. Jeeps blast Kelly Clarkson and Jay-Z in the parking lot while you rock Modest Mouse and the White Stripes on your iPod. Your older sister came back from college at Christmas with a bunch of burnt CDs that blew your mind. LCD Sound System, The Mountain Goats, Fiona Apple. Those albums were a gateway drug and now you crave more. In Phoenix, you had to dig around for a while before a flyer on a light pole finally tipped you off to the main stash. The Headwaters, the rawest, the realest music in town, is being made at a tiny spot called The Trunk Space. And even better, it's all ages. That Saturday, you walk up to the door marked 1506 and hesitate for a second before you cross the threshold. You take a deep breath, step inside, and immediately feel like you've been transported to an alternate dimension. Teenagers are packed into the room. Black jeans and chucks feel like enforced dress code. On stage, the band is wrapping up soundcheck. A guitar and bass duo with a scruffy, tattooed front man are chasing cables with a girl running sound. Pretty sure she was in your math class last year. Your gaze is pulled from the stage to a couple smiling warmly and welcoming you, the latest seeker to the sanctum. As you'll learn, no one is really in charge at the Trunk Space, but Stephanie and JRC founded the place, and with a group of dedicated volunteers, they keep the night rolling, helping bands on and off stage, making announcements, and greeting newbies like you with a show calendar, a grin, and a gentle reminder that you really should stay for all four bands. It's chaotic and communal. You love it immediately. That night, you stand with your back against the wall, but you never feel alone. As the band kicks in, somehow their acoustic songs have more punk energy than anything you've heard in your life. You are at one with the room as it rocks and sways in time with the music. You feel at home. Later at the merch table, you buy a CD from the band whose goofy moniker turns out to be Andrew Jackson Jihad. But everyone just calls them AJJ. Sean, the frontman, hands you a disc, and you notice some numbers tattooed on his arm. 1506. The same numbers on the venue's front door. You come back to the Trunk Space again and again all summer. By the fall, you're one of the volunteers chasing cables around with the band during soundcheck. That winter, you run sound for Matt and Kim the first time they pass through Phoenix. Over the next year, you help set up for theater installations, vaudeville acts, slam poetry, and so much music. For the first time in your life, you feel like you've found your tribe, your people. By now, Stephanie, JRC, and a few other regulars have all gotten matching 1506 tattoos. You never really thought of yourself as a tattoo person, but this place has definitely gotten under your skin. You find yourself thinking about how much you want to carry it with you. A permanent reminder of the place you discovered music and you found yourself. A few weeks later, the tattoo artist sits you down in a chair and you tell him what you want. 1506, he says. I've done 10 of these by now, but I never ask what it means. It's my home, you say, and you close your eyes. He begins working and the mild pain casts what's left of loneliness downriver into exile. A smile takes over your face, imagining walking into the door later that night, flashing your new ink, feeling the room rock and sway. Can't wait. Nowadays, the Trunk Space has moved from its original location to 1124 North 3rd Street on the property of the Grace Lutheran Church. But it still holds a wide variety of indie and experimental music and theater in an all-ages and substance-free environment on most Wednesdays through Saturdays. And, in addition to rooms like the Valley Bar and the Rhythm Room, it is the kind of listening room that stays with you forever. Now, when we are in a town that exemplifies the coveted no-cover spot so exquisitely, a room for you any night of the week, 365 days a year, like the Lost Leaf, it is exciting and comforting. Since opening in 2006, it has hosted live music from nearly 6,000 bands and DJs from across the globe, and all of them without a cover charge. The Lost Leaf prides itself on the fact that bands are paid directly out of bar revenue. In a rapidly gentrifying area, they've been able to minimize barriers to quality live music while also dishing out over $250,000 to indie artists over the years.
Oh my gosh, that's a lot of money.
It's where bands like Congo's dialed in their sound. Their walls are decorated with artwork from local artists, and it's available for purchase. The venue itself was built in a historic home from the 1920s, and it gives this space an unbeatable ambiance, not unlike an extremely hip house party. With singer-songwriters, jazz, and electronic music, or DJs spinning everything from old-school soul to ska. Longtime owners just sold it to a restaurateur who vowed to keep it running without change and for now have retained music and art creator Tato Caraveo. That is a promise of love for artists, a scene, live music, and the health of a city. But none of it works without awareness and our presence to help places like the Lost Leaf keep that promise. All joking about the heat aside, Phoenix is the first place I ever heard of trash cans melting in the summer. If you're in Phoenix and you want to absolutely get your face melted, by the music that is, or if you're looking for a concert to plan your trip around, you've got a few great options. Opened in 2017, the Van Buren is the new kid on the block. Centrally located, the 1800 capacity club is again another converted vintage car dealership. One that boasts a killer sound system for artists like Father John Misty, Lake Street Dive, Kacey Musgraves, and Billie Eilish. A great place to see a show, no doubt, but how the club plays into the local scene? Well, it's too soon to tell. If you'd like to have your face melted in a more of a grand setting, the Orpheum Theater is your spot. The historic theater was originally built in 1927, and after falling into despair in those 1970s and 1980s, it was fully restored by the city and reopened in 1997. The gorgeous Spanish Baroque-style facade is worth a look even if you don't go inside. And if you do, you'll be treated to an incredible atmosphere for the Phoenix Opera or concerts with artists like Iron and Wine, Dwight Yoakam, Big Thief, and Tedeschi Trucks Band. But okay, real talk. The Orpheum Theater is an incredible concert venue, but let's be real for a minute. It's kind of hard to get your face melted in an opera house. For the full experience, you need a loud, sweaty rock club, historic in its own way. And for that, in Phoenix, I recommend the Rebel Lounge. Although the Rebel Lounge has only been open since 2015, it stands on the same spot as the Mason Jar, a Phoenix venue with a heavy legacy. How heavy? Nirvana, Guns N' Roses, Rage Against the Machine, and Green Day are only some of the bands to play the tiny 350-person sweatbox on their way to stardom. Today, Jeff Taylor carries on the Mason Jar's legacy of cutting-edge alternative rock booking at the Rebel Lounge, winning numerous awards like Best Rock Club and Best Punk Club from local alt-weekly, The Phoenix New Times. Catch local heavyweights like The Main, AJJ, or Jim Bachman and the Day Drinkers digging up some of that Waylon Jennings vibe, or acts like Waves, Magdalena Bay, Michigander, and some of them will undoubtedly play bigger rooms before long. And then who knows, in 20 years you might be bragging about how you saw them on the way up at the Rebel Lounge. And maybe I'll do an episode of Sound of Our Town on how we did it together. Let's talk in 20 years. Many Northerners love to escape the cold for some Arizona desert, so let's open up the calendar so that you can mark your trip to Phoenix with some special events. Maybe winter is approaching in your northern home and you want to get one last sweat in. One more dance party before the cold takes hold of your bones. Gold Rush Music Festival is a three-day kitsch EDM DJ extravaganza October 7th, 8th, and 9th. Multiple stages, roller skating, DJ competitions, an EDM festival whose grandeur belongs in close proximity to that extravagant canyon. And in March, just when the North can't take another snowfall, there is M3F waiting for you in Arizona. If the Hohokam left a message for us in present day, it is best exemplified in M3F at Margaret T. Hance Park in downtown. This two-day festival features national and local musical acts on multiple stages, local food truck vendors, a beer garden so you can see how beer is grown, and a kid zone for every kid listening to Sound of Our Town in the backseat of their parents' car wondering when the hell I'm going to mention something for them. Well, just calm down. I give you M3F, you little punk. And your parents are doing a great job. There is the amazing music, Bon Iver, The Shins, Kid Cudi, Beck and Leon Bridges in the past. And at a time when we all feel that collective anxiety alone in bed at night, it can be comforting to know that there is a festival where 100% of the proceeds benefit community nonprofit organizations. Work that brought in $1.1 million over the last 2 years alone and has been donated to environmental, community building, justice, and mental health. And 80% of waste at M3F is recycled. M3F might just be the party you go to a few years after you got that 1506 tattoo. More evidence you are not alone and there's work to be done. And it's okay to do that work by enjoying this ride on a rock flying through space. I see this weird and wild fest created by friends that just wanted to dance as evidence that maybe we aren't destined to repeat the past. And I want to take you back to that first stop for the Phoenix Rock Lottery in February at the Crescent Ballroom. A show where nobody has yet heard the music. It does not exist on a single streaming platform. It's not even written yet. The artists performing at the Rock Lottery will begin writing their material just 10 hours before they have to play it on stage for you that evening. In fact, the musicians woke up that day not even knowing the other people that will be in the band with them that night. Local legend promoter Psycho Steve has been putting on the Rock Lottery since 2014, an event that's the ultimate counter to our everything, everywhere, all the time. Music that just exists in this moment, that day, for you. If you are lucky enough to be there. It works like this. More than 24 musicians from a variety of local indie acts and musical styles show up at the Crescent Ballroom on the morning of the event. Names are drawn randomly to create 5 new bands. Then they have that day and that day only to write and arrange 3 original songs, with every band member contributing on each song. And then they perform them that night along with one cover. It's the Thunderdome of interband dynamics. Alumni include members of Limbic System, Black Carl, Phoenix Afrobeat Orchestra, The Darts, and Jimmy Eat World. Some bands softly sink, but many roar and shock the audience into what is possible in one day. And there are always standouts that defy what we think it takes to build something out of nothing. But it isn't nothing. It's a scene. There's a history here. There's life when you dig in. The Musical Instrument Museum of Phoenix is a marvel. From the sandstone architecture mimicking the southwestern landscape, to the cluster of windows arranged like piano keys across the building's facade, the building is gorgeous. But that pales in comparison to what it holds inside and why this spot is not only the Vatican of Phoenix, but one of the more important spots we'll label as such this season. When we give a child a soccer ball and they don't like kicking, we give them a baseball bat. When they swing and miss, we give them a basketball, air ball, so we give them a track to run on, something to jump over. We exercise all our lives, or in my case, we think about it, even if we aren't pro athletes. But for music, we give every child a plastic recorder flute in third grade, the devil's trumpet, and then, when they don't want to continue on, we pat ourselves on the back. Well, at least we tried, they just didn't gravitate towards music. We've been on this earth for a long time. Shout out to the Hohokam. That is thousands of instruments, bands, drum circles, singers, artists. We give a child a guitar, a piano, the devil's trumpet. If they don't take to one or two of those options offered, we walk away, severing them from a connection to a tool that is scientifically and emotionally proven to help us navigate this chaotic existence. It is a right denied. The Musical Instrument Museum is given this distinction because it provides a gateway. One every human deserves to walk through. Thousands of instruments from over 200 countries spanning 6,000 years of human history. There are headsets that guide you through the museum, automatically playing samples of the different music. But you can play this museum. You can bang a gong and get it on, pluck a harp, whack a gamelan, play a theremin. You can connect at the instrument museum. Then there are the shows in the 300-seat theater that beckon the instruments exhibited. Lyle Lovett, Tonato Wen, Ronnie Spector, as well as Opus Moon, River Wireless, and Gerald Albright. Every sound and style imaginable put on shows there, ensuring that the instruments no longer in the wild aren't lonely. Sure, you can see Roberta Flack's grand piano, Johnny Cash's famous black suit, and other superstar accoutrements. But it's the access to options that make a space like this so humane. In this building possibly rests the key you've been seeking, for the part of you that is special in the instrument made especially for you somewhere along the millennia. How do you know if you've never been shown? Not all of us are going to be drawn to the guitar, the mic, the turntable, or the drum kit. Your very soul might be calling you to a Fet Banam, or a Fender Rhodes. So many different sonic tributaries to explore, all part of the same river. And the worst thing about the Music Instrument Museum is that this is the only such place, in that every state and city does not have at least one, as it would say, a sports stadium. In Phoenix, there are hidden gems for every style. For cutting-edge electro, a little internet digging could lead you to one of the legendary desert raves that pop up outside the city limits after midnight. Prefer digging through crates instead? You could easily spend a Saturday flipping through stacks at excellent record shops like Grand Avenue Records in downtown. A treasure trove for hard-to-find hip-hop, electronic, or soul releases. Tempe Institution Eastside Records has been running since 1987, and although it's changed locations a few times in recent years, owner Michael Pollocky keeps the spirit alive with a new location, the ghost of Eastside Records. If you want to learn a little bit about Phoenix music history while you pan for gold, this shop and its owner are some of your best resources. And after you no doubt picked up an armful of vinyl, or maybe you're trying to banish that hangover from last night's rave, you need a spot with a strong drink and an unpretentious attitude. My hidden gem for live music has to be the Yucca Tap Room. The 100-capacity club opened in 1972 as a rough-and-tumble biker bar and began hosting local punk and alternative acts in the late 80s. And although it's grown a bit since then, it's never lost its dive bar attitude. Now, in its second generation as a family-owned business with a community focus, the Yucca Tap Room hosts music every night of the week, often for free, and most exclusively from Phoenix bands. If your ears need a break, and let's be honest, they probably do, step into the arcade room with a killer lineup of 30 classic pinball games, or check out in-house restaurant Bao Chow, which serves classic bar fare with an Asian twist like fried chicken bao, bulgogi tater tots, and other sustenance for the weary traveler. Now, we got to prepare your brain for your time in the Arizona desert. You could take the easy way out and watch Waiting to Exhale again, or Psycho, or read the modern classic Twilight one more time. But the proper way to land in town is to prep your heart and mind for the scene. So book one, All Excess, the collection of essays from Bill Graham's protege and legendary concert promoter Danny Zalisco, as he reflects on his four decades of experience in the live music business in Arizona, where he organized and promoted more than 34,000 shows. Appearances by Carlos Santana, Axl Rose, Perry Farrell, Chuck Berry, and John Prine are just a few within these pages. Book 2, Stuck Outside of Phoenix, a fiction book as a love letter to the Tempe, Arizona music scene of the 1990s. Written by Art Edwards, bassman for The Refreshments. This one even got turned into a low-budget movie. The trailer on YouTube is peak 90s music movie feels. In Book 3, Waylon, an autobiography. The perfect way to feel like you are sitting down at a bar with Jennings as he tells you his life story. The girls, the drugs, finding your sound, what survivor's guilt does to a soul, and where to go to climb out of it. Waylon Jennings went to Phoenix to shake off the ghost of Buddy Holly. A year before, he had been on the verge of a breakthrough with Holly as his mentor, even playing bass for him on that ill-fated 1959 winter tour, a tour that was a logistical nightmare from the start. And after a few long freezing nights on the unheated bus, Buddy chartered a plane from Iowa to Minnesota. He saved a seat for his bandmates, Tommy Alsup and Waylon, but fate intervened. The big bopper came down with the flu and Waylon offered up his seat to the big man, and then Tommy gave his to Richie Valens after losing a coin flip. Buddy Holly couldn't imagine giving up a warm seat for anybody, flu be damned. And as he stood on the plane's doorway with the hatch about to slam shut, he shook his head at his bandmate. "I hope your bus freezes up," he taunted over the roar of the engine. "I hope your plane crashes," Waylon jabbed back with a laugh. It was a wet, snowy night. The plane took off, but ice quickly accumulated. It went down just 6 miles later. We can push away from the earth, but it can call us back whenever it wants, whether we are building lush green farmland in the desert or soaring through a winter storm. Waylon Jennings survived that day the music died, and he was reborn in Phoenix, a fiery, uncompromising performer who would catch the attention of everyone from Bobby Bear to Willie Nelson and lay the foundation for a whiskey river's worth of outlaw country to come. As for JD's, the nightclub that made it all possible, well, that supposedly dried salt riverbed where it sat flooded in 1965 and caused major damage. The club reopened, but it never quite regained its step, and the fire closed the doors for good in 1976. It's a vacant lot, For now, anyways. Someone will be called to it for rebirth, for rebuilding, or for redemption in Phoenix. And one more thing. People have been drawn to this challenging area of the Earth for longer than we can sometimes even consider. If you find yourself called here, a stop at Waylon's humble gravesite in Mesa can enrich your perspective. It's unceremoniously placed, miles from any legendary country music hub, amongst hundreds of other flat stones on the ground. You dig down, it's dust and bones. You dig deeper and find the lessons of a civilization come and gone. Maybe we all have survivor's guilt, just for being here. But we are here. Our plane has not gone down yet. And if you build something like Waylon Jennings did with his sound, instill something like the Music Instrument Museum does with its outreach, and engage like the M3F Festival does while keeping balance with the world around it, you're not only surviving, you are sustaining and contributing to that never-ending reverb. You know what's crazy? We're halfway through season one of Sound of Our Town. I'm kind of tripping out about that. Thanks to all of you for listening to these last six episodes. We got six more coming at you. And I've been told that reviews for a podcast really help a show. It's kind of like an encore at a concert where you get them out for more. So if we want more episodes and more seasons, reviews help. But don't write them now because you're driving or you're exercising or you're crossing the street or you're working outside. Do it later when you're in bed trying to remember if there's anything you forgot to do today. Unless you're already in bed, which all of a sudden made this weird. If you want to chat about the music scene in your city, hit us up on Instagram at Double Elvis and at Will Daily Official, or on Twitter at Double Elvis FM and at Will Daily. Sound of Our Town is a production of Double Elvis and iHeartRadio. The show is executively produced by Jake Brennan, Brady Sadler, and Carly Carioli for Double Elvis. Production assistance by Matt Bowden. The show is created, written, hosted, and scored by me, Will Daly. Additional writing on this episode by Patrick Coleman. For sources, see the show notes. Music on this episode was composed and performed by me, Will Daly. You can check out my music just by spelling my name correctly anywhere you listen to music. All right, I'm off to the next town and the next show. In fact, on September 2nd, I'll be in Portsmouth, New Hampshire at the Music Hall Lounge. On September 15th, I'll be in Northampton, Massachusetts at the Parlor Room. On September 25th, the Naples Grape Festival in Naples, New York. And September 30th, New Milford, Connecticut at the Silo. And a very special episode drops next week, number 7. And I'll see you here. As always, thank you for your ears.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Minnie Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Minnie Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.